It's 28 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. And welcome to another Changing Gear edition, in case you've just tuned in. It's Father Brian, and I'm getting up close and personal with our Catholic pride, who is our own resident choir master. And I don't know, I've got so many words I was going to use to describe you, but I won't go on and on. Colin, it's such a pleasure and a delight to be chatting to you this afternoon.
Well, it's lovely to be here.
That was Studio One by George Martin,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was called Studio One by George Martin, Sir George Martin.
He
was
Sir mentioned. George yeah. Martin. Tell me a little bit about this Studio One thing.
When I first went to England, mm-hmm. I was... in a small kind of way, interested in their local radio stations. Mm-hmm. And I used to listen a lot to BBC Radio 1, BBC Radio 2. Mm-hmm. And in those days, they didn't broadcast 24 hours a day. Mm. What they did at 11 o'clock at night was switched over to BBC World Service Radio. Mm. And then they'd come on again on their own at 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. In the same way that we do here with EWTN.
Yes.
And at 5 o'clock, just before 5 o'clock, they played that music. Mm. And it just grabbed me. I thought, you know, this is wonderful. Mm. Just a lovely start to the day, this exciting music. I tried everywhere to get a recording of that music. And mm-hmm. I couldn't. Mm. I even went to the BBC and said, don't you have this available on record? No. Mm. Mm. It's not commercially available. Mm. And about 3 months ago, I was fiddling around on the computer, and I thought, I wonder what ever happened to that music. They don't use it anymore, because mm-hmm. now the radio just broadcasts 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I fiddled around, I looked up Studio One, at least I knew it was called Studio One.
Yeah.
And there it was.
Oh, wow.
In a dozen different versions. This was the original version.
Okay.
And it just brings back so many memories every time I listen to it. I was a young student, and the country was new and strange to me, but here was something I latched on to, you know. So there we are. And I just wish that when I worked at the SABC, they could have had something similar.
So Collins, you came back. Colin, sorry, I've got a friend that is called Collins, and I'm calling you Colin. My apologies. Yeah. Colin, so you came back to SA in 1989.
Yes, about then.
What brought you back?
Family illness. Mm. There was a lot of trouble in my family, and I felt I had to come back. I was also, because I was in full-time teaching then, and it was becoming increasingly difficult. More and more paperwork to be done for the government, as it were. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is not for me. I'm spending more time doing paperwork than I'm actually teaching children. Mm. So very sadly and reluctantly, I decided to give it up. I love working with teenagers. Mm. You put me in a classroom with pimply teenagers with all their hang-ups.
Yes.
And I'm the happiest man in the world.
Why do you think you thrive in such an environment?
I don't know. I think young people keep you young. Mm. And you know, by the time they're teenagers, their characters are already formed or beginning to form. Mm. And I just found it so interesting working with them. Mm. But I decided enough was enough. And I came back here. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a job to go to.
Yes.
So I tried various places, and the SABC were interested, and Wits University were interested.
Okay, so you went to Wits as what? As a
choral director. I trained the choir.
Okay.
And we did concerts with the student orchestra. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
That was great fun.
Wow.
But in the meantime, I was appointed to the full-time staff at the SABC. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do both jobs. In the end, where I just could not do both jobs. Mm. So I decided, sadly, to drop the Wits job.
Okay.
And stick to the SABC. Mm. And that was interesting, because I was actually appointed as a senior music program producer.
Okay.
Which was fine. I had to compile and script programs.
Yes.
For daily broadcast. Mm. On what was then Radio South Africa, they called it then. It's now called SAFM.
Yes.
But then, while I was there, somebody listened to me. I was also on continuity, you know, I had to work a Sunday evening shift between 6 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the middle management listened to me and said, I'd like you to audition for news reading.
Okay.
So I did, and I passed the audition, and there I was reading the news live to the whole country.
Wow.
But I wasn't allowed to present my own music programs.
Why not?
You know, it's a case of one hand not knowing what the other hand is doing.
All right.
So those in the music department said, well, you haven't had enough experience of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let you present your own music programs. Yeah. Yeah. But there I was reading the news. It was a crazy
contradiction, really.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I mean, eventually they capitulated and they allowed me to do them. But it was just a curious set of circumstances, you know.
Mm-hmm. And how would you describe your time at the SABC?
Oh, I loved it. Mm. I loved it. I met some very good people, made some very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
People like Paddy O'Byrne,
yes.
Christopher Bennett, Stella Hare,
yeah.
Patricia Carr. I'm sure these are names which listeners will remember.
Can relate, yeah, yeah.
They were just lovely people.
Mm.
And that too, in a way, it was a blessing in my life, because mm-hmm. they taught me so much. Robin Alexander mm-hmm. was another one. You know, they taught me so much about broadcasting.
Mm. So when did you leave the SABC?
They turfed us all out in 1994.
After the new dispensation.
That's right. The new dispensation came. They actually said to me, we each one of us was summoned to a managerial meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to me, we don't want your music programs anymore. they're too posh. And your news reading is too posh. The other thing is that what you represent on air is white elitism.
Oh, no.
Yes. Eurocentricity. And I said, they said, well, what do you have to say? So I said, well, as far as Eurocentricity is concerned, I see you people coming to work in the morning in your BMWs and Mercedes-Benzes.
Mm.
So how can you criticize? I see you wearing Western-type suits with Italian shoes.
Mm.
And you eat food in the canteen, which is Western-style food.
Yeah.
So you can't accuse me of being, you know, Western-influenced.
Mm.
As far as white elitism is concerned, I don't draw any distinction between black or white, but I am proud of what I have done in my life and what I have achieved.
Mm.
And nothing will ever change that.
Yeah.
And they told me to get out. So I did.
Then
they said, but we don't want you to leave. We'd like you to stay on. You won't do any broadcasting, but you'll do an office job from 9 to 5.
Okay.
And in no uncertain terms, I told them just where they could put their office job from 9 to 5.
Oh, my God.
It was unpleasant. It really was very unpleasant. Yeah. But my time there was lovely, and I met some lovely people who remained lifelong friends.
Mm.
And of course, it was a wonderful experience.
Yes.
After that, I went, did local radio broadcasting.
Okay.
Radio Horizon. I went to Radio Today.
Oh, right. Okay.
And from Radio Today, I came here.
Mm-hmm. How did you end up here?
Oh, that's another story.
Mm-hmm. Give us the short version.
Father Emil phoned me up one day, and he said, you know, we'd really like to meet you and talk about what you've done and so on. He said, I do an afternoon program. I think it was from 2 until 4.
Mm-hmm.
Come and sit in the studio with me and we'll chat about it. We did. And I brought along a couple of pieces of music and we had a nice little chat for about half an hour. Afterwards, I got back in my car and I thought to myself, you know, the crafty old so-and-so.
Yes.
I've just done a live on-air
audition
for a job. I don't think many people can claim that.
Typical of Father Emily.
Oh, typical, yes. Anyway, that's how I came to Veritas.
Yeah.
I love it here. Yeah. I love it here.
What role has your faith played in your life?
Very important.
Calling.
Very important.
It's Tell us more about that.
It's a difficult one. It's the motivating force in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my Sunday morning program, people say, what time do you get up that you have to be there at 6 in the morning?
Yes.
So I said, but that's immaterial. I said, for me, that Sunday morning program is an act of worship.
Good.
Mm. And good, bad, or indifferent, it's an offering that I make.
Wow.
And that's what really motivates me.
So you don't see your work in radio and in broadcasting now, especially here at Radio Veritas, as something that you do for the fame and maybe for the fortune?
Oh, no, I got beyond the fame and the fortune. Not much fortune in it, Father.
I know. Ask me about it.
No, it's more than that. It's more than that. I would feel... Well, Father Emil said to me the other day, I suppose, you know, at our age, they're going to pension us off one day. I said, Father, if I were to sit around at home doing nothing, I'd go completely mad.
Yeah.
I'd rather come in every morning and die at the microphone.
What did he say to that?
I think he just laughed. I can't remember. But, no. I love the work. And what for me is lovely, for instance, this morning, I was doing the program of Fania because Father Emil was having his
treatment,
what I call happy juice.
Yes.
And we had a phone call during Kid of the Day nomination,
about
10 to 7. And this little fellow phoned in, and he's phoned in before. Mm. I think he's about 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Unami. And his sister's name is Uwami. And Father Emil always gets it wrong.
Yes.
But I got it wrong this morning, too. I said, oh, hello, that's... I always started to say, hello, I think you're wonderful.
Yes.
And he said, hello, I'm... I thought he said Uwami.
Yes.
So I said, oh, Uwami. He said, no, Unami. It was so sweet. I love interacting, and for me it's a great joy when the children actually phone.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. It's 15 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. And in case you've just tuned in, where have you been? I'm getting up close and personal with one of Radio Veritas' finest presenters and our newsreader, Colin York. In case you've just tuned in, where have you been? I'm going to be opening the lines after 5, and if you know calling, and if you listen to him in the morning, and if he's a bore to your ear, please tell him. And if you want to ask him anything, this is the time that we ask him. And if you love his voice, you love his music, let's get up close and personal. Ask him anything you want to ask, and we'll be opening the lines just after 5. So please do not touch that dial.
Listen to Radio Veritas, 576 AM, for a change.
That's Enya with Aeronauco Flow. Beautiful, beautiful track. I actually mistook that to be Celtic Woman. They actually did a version on that.
That's right. Pretty much the same sort of sound, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember
one. Great rhythm, actually.
Yes, it is. It's unusual. It's different from the normal run. But I remember an Afrikaans colleague of mine at the SABC.
Mm-hmm.
He played this, and he said afterwards, when he back announced, he said, "Who's Hassan Dir Aina?" Instead of Enya.
Enya. Do you have an idea what this Orinoco means? What's this?
I have no idea. I don't know why they call it that.
Yeah.
I know Orinoco is a river, but
yeah,
that's all I know.
Colin, what would you want to be your legacy? What do you think will be your legacy?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't think about that.
If you were asked to think about it?
I don't know. I think my love of music, mm-hmm. which is very important to me. I couldn't live without music. But also my love of my religion.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter, doesn't matter whether it's Methodist or Anglican or Catholic to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so important in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people want to remember me, that's what they must remember me for.
Your view? What are some of the challenges that you think we're facing as a country in South Africa at the moment?
Oh. That's a tough one. There are huge challenges in this country. Mm-hmm. I become aware of it every day when I read the news,
mm-hmm.
when I read the newspapers, when I see television news.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes wonder if we'll ever get over them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people hark back to the days of apartheid. I mean, apartheid was dreadful.
Yes.
And I remember seeing and hearing things which turned my stomach and which still turn my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
As to how the people were treated in those days. And I, in fact, it was one reason why I left the country. I left the country primarily to go and study,
mm-hmm.
but I was so glad to get out of South Africa
mm-hmm.
at the time, mm-hmm. in the mid-1960s,
yeah.
because things were almost intolerable here. Politicians would only speak in Afrikaans. Until it occurred to them one day that if they wanted the rest of the world to understand what they were talking about, they'd have to speak English.
Mm.
Well, some of them could hardly speak English. They could only speak Afrikaans. Mm. I remember one politician, Eric Lowe, who was Minister of, I don't know what they call it, Posts and Telegraphs or something,
yes.
saying, "Never in 1,000 years would we have television in South Africa. It was evil."
Mm.
Mm. Well, sure, I mean, television can be an evil influence in people's lives,
mm.
in the same way that the internet can.
Yeah.
But, you know, they made sweeping statements like that, and you had to live with it.
Yeah.
And this is something I just couldn't stand anymore. And what made a huge impression on me, I can still remember it so clearly, my very first weekend in London.
Yeah.
I went up to Westminster Cathedral and Westminster Abbey, which yeah. are quite close to each other.
Mm.
And outside Westminster Abbey, I saw a white woman with a black man walking with his arm around her shoulder. This blew my boots off.
Why?
Because I'd never seen anything like that here. It was illegal.
Mm.
They were not allowed to do that.
Mm.
And this really blew my boots off.
Mm. Now here we are, 22 years later.
Yeah.
Do you think we've managed to overcome those hurdles?
I think so. I think so. I just wish more people could overcome their hurdles. We all have hurdles in life.
Yeah.
We all have hang-ups of one kind or another. The sooner we can get over them and learn to live together, the better.
What do you say that you now know better from when you look back? And if you look at your younger self, what would you say, now I know better? And if I know what I know now?
Ooh. You're right. There are so many things. I don't know. I'd have to go away and think about that and tell you on Monday. I don't know if I know anything better, but I do know differently. And you know, the trouble is, we grew up in a society where we were whites and they were blacks and they were coloureds and they were Indians.
Them and us.
That's right, them and us. That's, in my mind, that's all gone. And unfortunately, it does exist in the minds of people still. But in my mind,
it's not an issue.
It's not an issue because when I was teaching in England, I was teaching children of virtually every nationality in the world. Chinese, Japanese, people from Singapore, people from
West Africa.
Yeah, we had, in fact, we even had two girls from South Africa. And it was lovely for me to be able to speak Afrikaans to them, you know, and make them feel at home. And having to work with children of all nationalities made me realize we're all the same. We're all human beings. Why should we be discriminated because of our color?
There's a part of music, Colin, that is linked to love and romance.
Oh, yes.
And would you describe yourself as a romantic?
Secretly, deep down, but don't tell anyone. <do you? laughs>
A closeted romantic. Yeah, no. You believe in love?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's important in life. I think, you know, it's... I'm not just talking about physical love.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about love in general.
Yeah.
It's a very important facet of life. Very important. And I cannot think of anybody going through life without loving somebody or something.
Yeah.
Even if it's somebody who loves their cat or dog or horse.
Yeah.
You know.
So who are you loving now, Colin?
I'm not telling you. Father, this is a broadcasting studio, not a confession.
It's 4 minutes before the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at, and it's Changing Gear with me, Father Brian, and I'm getting up close and personal with Colin York, our own resident newsreader. He also has a show on Radio Veritas on Sunday. Catch him between 6 and 9 in the morning, and it's called Martins. It's Sunday Martins.
Sunday Martins.
Yeah. And very good musical program, by the way. I listen to it when I'm preparing for Mass.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I throw in a little bit of everything. We start off with the Rosary, of course, at 6. Then I have the half-hour program of church music, which I inherited from my friend Roger O'Hogan.
Yes.
Then I do the readings from the Mass for the day.
Yes.
And then I follow that with... some thoughts and meditations and prayers by Bishop David Constant, who was, in fact, still is a bishop in I think, the Diocese of London. And he wrote this book called Jesus Christ, the Way, the Truth, the Life. And it's a very useful little book. I picked it up at a book sale for sixpence. And people have phoned in and said, you know, where can I get this book? And every now and again I say, look, I'm not sure if you can still get it. You can try. And I give them the publisher's name and any other information I can. It's just a very useful book, and I try and link the prayers with the readings that we have for the day.
And the music too, yeah.
Yeah. That takes up about an hour and a half, and then for an hour I give them music which I think is suitable for a Sunday morning.
Colin, you seem to have done it all. You've achieved, you have lived your life, you have loved, you've been loved, and you clearly have made a contribution to the communication space and to the industry in the country and even abroad. So when we look back, are there any regrets? Is there anything that you think you would have wanted to have done that you didn't do, and something that you still need to do?
I would very much like to become director of music at Westminster Cathedral. But that will never happen. But, you know, just little daft, I also would very much like to drive a fire engine.
Wow. Why a fire engine?
That has been a childhood ambition.
Okay, I'm sure our listeners can organize that for you. And if there's anybody listening and anyone wants to do something kind for calling, and let's make his dream come true. And please help me make Colin the happiest man in town.
I would just love, you know, the idea of driving this great machine through the streets with the red traffic lights and the sirens going and everybody stopping for you.
Wow.
And that just, I think, is such a great feeling of power, you know.
It's going to happen, Colin, and before the end of this year.
You think
It will happen. It will happen. We're sending it out into the world and into the universe, and we believe it's going to come back. So I'm going to ask our listeners to help me make you a happy man, eh? It's 5 p.m. Do not touch that dial.